You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Advent is right around the corner.
Yes, I'm so excited.
First Sunday of Advent.
Mm-hmm.
Lent is Sunday in Lent.
Mm-hmm.
Of Advent.
Yes, these words matter.
I always have to pause and think about that. So this is the first Sunday of Advent this Sunday. And we are going to take a look at the theme, the text for the three-year lectionary for this coming Sunday. Thanks to Concordia University Wisconsin for supporting the Coffee Hour. You can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
I'm joining us today, Pastor James Geyer. He's senior pastor of Ascension Lutheran Church and School in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Pastor Geyer, welcome to the Coffee Hour.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
We are looking forward to Advent. This Sunday will be the first Sunday in Advent. Do you enjoy this season just as much? I know it's a busy season for pastors, but do you enjoy Advent?
Yes, of course. Of course. Advent means we're starting a whole nother church year. That means I've lived another year to preach the gospel. So that's always
Amen.
A good. And, you know, the beginnings and the understanding of what Advent focuses on is so crucial in setting off the rest of the church year in the story of Christ. The coming of the Christ and then his life in the world and then continuing that cycle in the church year is always, I've always enjoyed it and I love the season of Advent. And I remember that during that season, I try not to focus on the Christmas song so much that's over the radio playing all the time. I try to get into the Advent song so I have that anticipation and hope that the season is all about.
And we play Advent music here on KFUO too during the season of Advent for that reason.
Great.
It is Christmas on December, 24th at midnight, I suppose. So
we might start a little bit earlier because we serve listeners around the globe.
It's true. Maybe a few hours. Yes. So Advent is the beginning of a new church year. That's always an exciting time. What do we observe and prepare for in this season of Advent?
I've always looked at it as the coming of the King. And here we have a fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy that gives us and strengthens our hope in the season as a whole, because the King who was foretold from ancient times has indeed come, as we hear in Luke's gospel, meaning also that he will come again. So in the fulfillment of the first promise, our hope is strengthened even more in the second promise of his final return. So it's a great season to focus on.
All right. So you mentioned Luke's gospel. Looking at the readings for this coming Sunday in the three-year lectionary, what do we learn? I know we have some prophecy. What's foretold by the prophets?
Well, what's foretold is a king is going to come, and he's going to come in a certain way, which raises the question also about what kind of king he is. But a king who arrives on a donkey, a foal, the colt, or a colt, the foal of a donkey, it says. And so it gives us a picture a little bit of what this king may be about. It's a king who doesn't come on his steed. He doesn't have a sword. He doesn't have a shield. He doesn't arrive with the entourage of what royalty typically would have. But what he does come with is the most important thing that we need in this world. He comes with righteousness and he comes with humility. He brings to us a justice that is so needed in the world. And mind you, in this idea of justice, sometimes we just simply think in terms of the secular world what justice means. Everyone wants to have their justice. But I remember, not only is he just to condemn us on the basis of our breaking of his law, but he's also just to forgive us on the basis of Christ's atoning sacrifice on the cross. It's a two-part justice. It's a law and gospel justice. Beautiful.
What else do we gain from the reading from Jeremiah 33:14-16? How does this tie into the prophecies that are fulfilled when Christ comes?
Well, the greatest part of that text, in my view, is first, it's a promise that is made, and then it's a promise that has been fulfilled. But interestingly, it is the title by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness, which very clearly sets the theme of the gospel of the New Testament. The Lord is our righteousness. We are not our righteousness. There's a need for this king to come because it comes with the very thing that is essential to us in God's plan of salvation for us. The Lord is our righteousness. It's a wonderful word.
Okay, we've used some terms that maybe are a little foreign to us, especially in American culture today. We've used the term king. We've used the term righteous. help us understand those terms, because the concept of a king is a bit foreign to Americans. What is this concept of a king that is prophesied? Help us understand a little bit more about this king.
A king is, he rules and he reigns. He is in Christ's position as a king. He's also a servant to the people. And the people look at a king for their understanding of their own existence and relationship to the kingdom in which they live. So he will come and a king will rule and reign, not unlike a little bit that you find in countries today or kingdoms today, as we would call them too, where there's a ruler. And the ruler is the one who brings about the understanding of what it means to live in the kingdom in which that person is ruling. When it comes to righteousness, this king having righteousness, well, righteousness brings us back to the holiness of God, all that is right and true in accord with our Creator, who is the one who sends his son to be king over his kingdom and the kingdom that is coming. So hopefully that gets us on a path to know that a king will rule, he'll reign, he serves his people, and he also can embody the hope of the people, especially in protecting them and bringing about a prosperity in the kingdom.
You mentioned hope. Where does hope live in this season of Advent?
I think hope lives in the fact that Jesus came and fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Testament, and that he truly is a king who rules and reigns at this moment. And I believe in hope, not as the world terms hope, is like a wishful thinking of something that might happen. But the Christian hope is different. We have a hope of something that is going to happen. It has not happened yet, but we know that it will. And we know that he'll return because he has already come in his first advent. So that's a great hope. And that starts to define our life. How can we live our lives more abundantly and more fearlessly and more faithfully, but then in knowing that everything that God has prophesied will come to pass, everything. And even the end, when a new heaven and earth is not too far off in the horizon for us. That's a wonderful thing to live toward as Christians in the kingdom in who Christ is our king.
You brought up a great point that hope, the hope that we have from God's word, is not wishful thinking. I think this came up in a recent conversation. We were talking about like God's word being performative. The benediction is performative. The hope that we have is not just like, well, even like the warm wishes we send this time of year.
It's not squishy like that.
How is this hope so much more substantial? This, I don't know if that's the right word, but how is this hope different from the warm wishes, the well wishes that we might be sharing this time of year?
I think the content of it speaks volumes. Our hope just isn't in a better, maybe, world that we live in. You know, we all talk about peace, world peace. And Christians understand that being baptized into Christ, our life in this world has just gotten eternal and bigger. And so we live for something that goes even beyond this life on the basis of things that have already taken place in this life. So our hope has a substance to it of knowing that we have already received what we will need and have in the life to come through the gospel of Christ. We're not only in a process of sanctification, but in God's sight, we are already sanctified as holy before him. We're already living and engaging in the new world to come by the life we live here in the gospel. So our hope has substance to it. It has reality to it. It has something that backs it up that the rest of the hope in the world can only, well, hope and wishful thinking to have. So what a wonderful world and opportunity we do have currently, although it's not perfect. But within it, heaven comes to us in Christ, and we begin that life here in time for the purposes of then engaging it in eternity. So that's a good hope to have. And I look forward to that when we have that church year that so wonderfully lays it out for us and helps us to build the anticipation over the four Sundays of Advent. And then, like you said, Christmas Eve. And then Christmas morning. And then, you know, I think maybe we should do a little bit more to celebrate the 12 days of Christmas. That might be nice too. So let Christmas be Christmas and let Advent be Advent. And both are blessed seasons to have, and they relate to each other beautifully.
Oh, we do that here at KFUO. We celebrate the full 12 days of Christmas. We might even extend it a little bit.
Like 14.
We might do the 14 days of Christmas here at KFUO. But we make sure that, yes, we have a full Advent and a full Christmas here at KFUO. And we certainly know this season of Advent is about hope. And in good, true Lutheran fashion, it is both and, right? Because there's another part to this season, too. We're going to talk about that in just a moment with our guest, Pastor James Geyer of Ascension Lutheran Church and School in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in just a moment. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Oh, this wooden toy set is really, really fun.
It is.
We could pretend it's like real life.
Kids love to play, and play that points to Jesus is a big part of a child's faith journey. Wooden toys from Wicking Vicar do just that, growing the faith through play. Wicking Vicar's Children's Church Playset lets little ones delve into the divine service, and the Children's Advent Wreath is a safe way for kids to make the Advent tradition their own. Solid wood and heirloom quality for children ages 3 and up. Order yours today at wickingvicar.com and click on Wooden Toys in the menu bar. This Christmas, gift the children in your life faith-building wooden toys from Wicking Vicar.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are looking forward to the first Sunday of Advent with Pastor James Geyer, Senior Pastor of Ascension Lutheran Church and School in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We're taking a look at the readings for this coming Sunday and the themes for this coming Sunday. We've been talking a lot about hope. There's more to this season than hope. I mean, certainly hope is a key part of it, but there's also repentance in this season of Advent too, right, Pastor?
Oh, exactly. We are reminded that for the King who comes to us, just as John the Baptist was sent before him to prepare us and to prepare the way for his coming, so too do we know that there is a preparation for the coming of the King again. And so we live as Christians in that life of preparation. It's a life of repentance. And it's an ongoing, cyclical, a part and event of our life every week. This is why I like the divine service. And every Sunday, we have our confession and absolution. And when I talk with people about worship, a lot of people think worship is, hey, bring your righteousness, bring your goodness, bring all the good things you've done for God and tell him all about it. And I say, well, no, I think what he wants us to do is to bring our sins to him, because those are the things that bog down our life. Those are the things that stand between us. Those are the things that he came to take away. That's why he received the name of Jesus. At his name, he will save his people from their sins. And therefore, repentance is our recognition of our sin and our need for the King who is coming. And certainly John the Baptist prepared the way. Jesus came in his own baptism. He's baptized to fulfill all righteousness. And there he goes, carrying our sins to the cross for the purposes of that we too may engage in his righteousness for which he came to give us.
Where do we see these themes of repentance and hope playing out in the days of Noah in the Old Testament?
Yeah, in the Old Testament, obviously, there was a devolution, not an evolution of man, but a sort of a devolution of man into greater sin and wickedness. And God, seeing this, got to the point where he spoke to Noah a promise that he was to build an ark. And to me, the ark was 100+ years of preaching to the world of their sins, but at the same time, of the hope that God is going to provide a safe haven through the judgment in order to land in a new and better world. So I see repentance as Noah's actual obedience to God and this building of this ark as a testimony that something is coming, something that needed to be prepared for. And if we don't take note of the message in the way God gives it, then we're going to find ourselves outside the door. And when the door of the ark shuts, that's it. Whether you're on the inside as Noah was and his family or on the outside as the rest of the world, your place now for all eternity has been determined. And so I see the church in that way as well. The church is like the ark in which we are brought into the church for the purposes of being carried through this world to the new life and new world to come. And if people are not brought in or remain outside of it, then too, we have the judgment that will bring about their demise.
And that concept of the church being like the ark, we even see that in church architecture too,
mm-hmm.
right?
Well, we do. And I was an architect before being a pastor. So I have a great appreciation for what we call the nave, which comes from the word naval and ship. And so the church serves as that place of rescue from the world and from the tumultuousness of the sea around us in this world. By the way, the sea being a symbol of chaos and evil in the world. And here we are safely in the church, but we are still suffering, you know, as you will, the tumultuousness of the world while we're in this rescue vessel and being carried forth to the new heaven and earth to come. It's a wonderful picture in the Old Testament and true picture of the first judgment that took place in the world. And we have a connection of that. And I have that here. As were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man, which then connects again these end time themes. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. And the key word in there that does fit with this season is they were unaware, as we are then remembering to be aware of the coming of the Christ and being prepared for him.
Talking about ships and being safe in a boat always reminds me of the disciples on the boat in the Sea of Galilee with Jesus, and he calms everything. And I love that picture. There's just all these connections that happen when we start talking about these themes going through scripture. Where else do we see these themes of hope and repentance and Christ's provision for the church in the New Testament church?
I think especially in the sacrament of baptism, because baptism connects back to the flood. And looking at the flood, we learned that the very water that brought death to evil or to the sin of the world is also the very water that God used to deliver Noah and his family to the new world and the new life. Baptism plays an essential role in that. And this is why we're very high, if you will, on and proclaiming baptism as the true entrance to the church, as Jesus says. And that in that rite, if you will, where water and word come together, we learn that the old Adam in us, which is representative of the old world, is put to death while a new creation is made in us. Well, if we are made a new creation, what are we made new for? Simply to live in this old world again and be bound by its destiny of destruction because of sin? Or are we made new now for something that goes beyond that, which is a new heaven and earth to come? So when we realize that we're a new creation in Christ, we just have to look at the horizon and we already see the sun beginning to rise. And soon we shall see the sun himself, who is the light of the gospel, now giving life to the world. So this is neat. This is a real hope that we have and can stand on.
Mm. Anything else on the text? I know we may have a few minutes left, and I might like to look at like what we'll see, what we'll hear differently during, what might be different during the season of Advent. But before we get to that, anything else on the themes of the text for this coming Sunday, for the first Sunday of Advent?
I initially focused heavy on what kind of king we're talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
The king who comes. I mean, on that day, obviously in the text of Luke, we hear, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest, which means that the works that he's doing is something that lifts us up from the earth into the highest places and the highest realms of God's existence for us. But what kind of king is he? And this is a king who comes in great humility. As I said before, he doesn't have the entourage of an earthly king. But what he came with, as it says also in, I want to look at Zechariah's prophecy real quick. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he. And when you think about that, he is the one who is our righteousness. So he comes with that righteousness. But there's something else in this text. And that's when he says, and having salvation is he. What does that mean? Well, in him, he has what is needed and necessary, which is the most valuable thing in the entire world that has ever existed and continues to be among us. And in him is the blood by which only can sin be atoned for. And he comes to shed it. And then what I like about that is this is a king who then drinks to the dregs the cup of wrath and fills it back up with the cup of life in his blood. And he puts it right in our midst every Sunday on that altar so that we can participate in the same life and righteousness that he came to bring us and so be declared righteous before God. It's a wonderful king that we have in what he did, because this is the king who came to serve his people and to die for them, where earthly kings expect their subjects to die for them. This is a different king. And boy, I worship that king, the King of Kings.
Amen. All right. Since you shared with us that you were an architect before you became a pastor, and, you know, just understanding the building, the structure, you know, and appreciating the design of many churches and the concept of the nave, what might look different as we gather around God's word during the season of Advent? What might look different in the nave, or what might sound different?
Well, what will happen is obviously with a change of season, colors change. Our rites have additional adornments to it that remind us of the building and coming anticipation. In our particular service, we do have the lighting of the Advent candles with each succeeding Sunday as the lights continue to work their way around to the Christ candle. In our service too, we do have the Christmas trees up, but plain to begin with. And then eventually the lights come on, and then eventually a little bit more happens until finally on Christmas morning, that's when we have everything decorated. So you have this anticipation happening in the service. What I do want to say about architecture that I like about our church, because it happens every Sunday, but nevertheless, it never gets old with me, is when you walk into the sanctuary and right there before the chancel area is the baptismal font. And the baptismal font is our entrance into the holy places of God. And so you have sort of this representative symbol of that in the chancel area. And then, of course, in the chancel area, you have the altar where God's promised presence is with us in his body and blood in the sacrament of the altar. But these would not be what they were if it was not for the pulpit that now sits in our arrangement above the altar. It's all in line. Word and sacrament is all in line. It's beautifully done. And so the word then brings about the reality of what we experience in that water and with the bread and wine of the sacrament. So there's an order in our worship. There's an order in our service. And then we embellish it with candlelight, and then the increasing of candlelight in our services. And the light every Sunday gets greater and greater until finally on Christmas morning, everything is lit up brilliantly to honor the Christ, the light of the world.
Everything always comes back to Christ. Talking about all of these things that are going to be happening in Advent, the themes that we're going to be going into when we have this first Sunday in Advent. And you had mentioned the phrase living toward, and I love that phrase. I'd never thought about that, those words together before. How does that mindset of living toward play out in Advent, but then using that theme throughout the rest of the church year as well?
That's a great question. Living toward, it doesn't mean that we ignore the moment that we're in, but we also know about the moment that is coming. And that helps to draw us through the daily grind that we live in. And I find that if we just focus too much on the moment and the difficulties that we have, not understanding that there's something just over the horizon, something that is just about to come, that pulls me and my members through that, knowing and trusting that no matter what happens to me in my daily life here, I can rejoice in knowing what lies before me and what God is going to bring to me very soon and does bring to me in the reality of my daily life as I engage in His Word daily. So yeah, we live for something more that goes beyond this life. And yet this life is important to us. But that is why we look forward with hope. We have a whole new thing coming. And it's kind of like planning for a vacation. I'm usually a little bit happier about a week before because no matter what happens that week, I know where I'm going and I get to get a break and go have some fun with my family. And kind of like that. It's much more than that. But, you know, this is a season that is to prepare us for the rest of Christ's life, too. That's going to bring us back to a time of repentance again in Lent. But before that, we have the beautiful season of Epiphany to see that God truly is with us. He is with us in this life. He's not a distant God. Every day He's with us, and especially in His promised place of Word and Sacrament. Thanks be to God for that. That gives me great hope every day. And it helps us to thwart off anxiety, by the way, and a lot of the depression and things that we experience in life. And when we get so focused on ourselves, that stuff can just exacerbate itself. And then when you look out and say, hey, why am I fearful? The Lord has everything, and the Lord has promised everything, and He fulfills it. And it just changes your whole outlook on life. So we live forward, but not forgetting where we're at the moment.
Our guest today, Reverend James Geyer, Senior Pastor of Ascension Lutheran Church and School in Fort Wayne, Indiana, helping us look forward to this first Sunday of Advent. Pastor Geyer, thank you so much for this great conversation. Looking forward to more.
It was a great pleasure. Thank you.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.